Hallelujah.
Welcome to meeting today. Let's pray. Our Father, our minds are open to hear your word. We seek clarity. There's no error in this atmosphere. We will see your word with meekness, with gladness of heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, we started off on a topic. What's the name of the topic?
I've not still gotten the name, but something along the line on eternity, right? Along that line, explaining eternity, something along that line, or everlasting. Just along that line. Seriously, I just thought about what is the name? Hallelujah. So we just name it nameless. So it is eternity. Right?
Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 into 17. 2 Timothy 3, 15 into 17 says, "And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." It says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So, you know, we said
some things along this line, but for the sake of emphasis, we're going to go through some few of them again. First of all, we said scriptures are meant to be explained, right?
Scriptures are meant to be explained. And the end point of the explanation of scriptures is for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is found in the explanation of scripture, proper explanation, which Paul would recognize Timothy's cleverness. He uses the word sophizo, cleverness. Timothy's wisdom, intelligence, smartness, that's the word, in his understanding of Old Testament scriptures. You know, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. He makes reference to Old Testament writings, right? So, he makes reference to Old Testament writings. We're going to look at this much more, and we will dwell on this much more. We'll discuss understanding the Gospel series 2B. As well, we will dwell much more. You know, much more. A believer should know how to explain Scriptures. So, a disciple of Christ must not run away from the Old Testament writings. Do you understand? You must be able to, you should know how to read and understand it. Hallelujah. So, Paul will recognize Timothy's cleverness in how he understood Old Testament scriptures. And in how was their understanding? He said, salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, in the light of how it should be explained, that is the light of how the Old Testament scriptures should be explained. Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, you know, Paul will use the word, you have known the Holy Scriptures. He uses grammar. You have known the Holy Scriptures. That word you have known is the word eido. Eido. E-I-D-O. You have known is the word eido. Eido is a word that is used for how one appreciates Scriptures. Used for how one appreciates Scriptures. You know, for him to use that word "I do," it shows that Timothy learned it. Do you understand me? It shows that Timothy was taught. Very important. So, meaning you can be taught how to explain scriptures. Do you understand me? So, you have known. Meaning, for him to use that word, it shows that Timothy was taught. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So how was Timothy taught?
Was taught by Paul also.
It's taught by Paul.
Glory to God.
In chapter 2, verse 2, he said, the things you've heard from me among many witnesses, meaning Timothy learned from Paul. So it shows Timothy was taught. Now, that word idol is also used for how one appreciates scriptures. And also, it also implies to recollect facts and ideas. Do you understand me?
It's used for recollection of facts and ideas.
So it means that Paul is saying that Timothy, or he calls Timothy's cleverness the fact that he could recollect facts and ideas. Do you understand me? Facts and ideas from the scriptures, from what he has been taught. Hallelujah. He can recollect ideas.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So you cannot appreciate scriptures or recollect facts and ideas when you have not read well or when you've not been taught well. So remember, I said for that word idol to be used is something scientific. It's not that Timothy was born that way. Jonathan, so he had to learn it. So for him to be able to recollect facts and figures, it means he appreciates it. Right? It means he has read it well. He was taught, he was explained to him well. Hallelujah. So very important. You cannot explain scriptures, or you cannot appreciate scriptures, or recollect facts and ideas when you are not taught well, when you've not read well. And that led us to say that we looked at different ways of reading, right? We say there's what they call glance reading. We looked at glance reading, running through to read in a glance. I would say that is not, you will not find spiritual growth in that. Right? You cannot find spiritual growth in glance reading. Just pick your Bible and you flip it as though you are going through a newspaper. You're going through a newspaper headline or headline. You can't know scripture that week. Do you understand me? You will never know scripture that week. Hallelujah. You will never know scripture that week. There's also, we looked at biased reading. When you study scriptures with a mindset, you have a mindset, you are going to scriptures to search out your problem. Tell us that. A lot of people, the way they read scripture is they have a problem. They now want to see what is the Bible, how does the Bible address my problem? No. Do you understand me? The Bible is not a material. The scriptures is not material to address your problem. Hallelujah. The scriptures is to be taught. The scriptures to be explained. Hallelujah. It's not a place where you come to find solution to your problem. And that is why you find people mix scriptures up. Hallelujah. Mix scriptures up. But they are looking for solution. They have something in their mind. Glory to God. How do you teach about love? So you now go to Bible company and now search love. Boom! You just see love. You will not even context. You are out of context. You just be quoting it. That's of love. Out of love. You just quoting it anyhow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me search for internal life. And then you search till you know what you find. Glory to God. So you don't have something in your mind before you read. No. No, you don't. And that is why during CLC, we'll look at something along that line. That is why somebody will pick up his Bible, and because he has a bias, his mind is biased, he wants to read concerning spiritual warfare. And I don't know what warfare is. He now picks his Bible and now goes to, wherever I see fight, say, we'll fight. No, at night, he said, the thought that shall rise up against us in judgment shall be condemned. Oh, Father, condemn them. Because you have a biased mind, you've not read well. Hallelujah. He's not read well. Glory to God. So, So, you know, you don't read that way. You don't study scriptures that way. You don't study scriptures to find problems in your situation. That's not what the scriptures are written for.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now there is another kind of reading that is called wholesome reading. Wholesome reading. Wholesome reading.
I guess that was not the name we called it the last time. We called it careful reading, right?
Wholesome reading.
Okay.
It's a careful reading where you read everything together. Anagnosko. Anagnosko. We find Jesus used that to question how the Pharisees will study scripture, how they study. He questioned them.
Hallelujah.
Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. Matthew 19, 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read?
Hallelujah.
Have you not read that he that made them in the beginning made them male and female? And not Jesus, didn't you pay attention to the details? That's what he said. Didn't you pay attention to the details, to the fact that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female?
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God. In chapter 12, verse 3, chapter 12, verse 3, the same thing. They came questioning him about Sabbath, about how his disciples were plodding fruits on Sabbath day. Verse 3, and he said, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those that were with him. Now look at that word. He said, have you not read? Meaning, instead of telling, did you not read well? That is what he said. Did you not read well? Meaning, anagnosko is a careful kind of reading where you read well. You look at details.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You look at details. You brood over it. You look at details. It's the word ana means to do something again. Repeatedly.
Hallelujah.
Repeated. That is ana. Hallelujah. So, it's a kind of reading where you read again. You know that? You go through it again. You look at it again and again and again. You pay attention to the details. You pay attention to how it was said. Pay attention to the prepositions, how it was used, how words are used. So therefore, you're going to stay within context. Right? You're going to stay within context. Remember, in anagnosko, remember it's careful kind of reading. We also said something that you don't generalize, right? So you read carefully in the context. We said context is key. Is king, sorry. Contextual reading is king. Words will find their meaning in the context of their usage. Words will find their meaning in the context of their usage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul will use anagnosko for how the epistles should be read in Ephesians chapter 3. How the epistles should be read. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start from verse 3. How that by revelation it made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, which by when you read, that's the word anagnosko, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Anagnosko. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, when this epistle is read, did you see that anagnosko among you? See that it is read also in the churches of Laodicea, and that you likewise read the epistles of the Laodicea. You understand me? So, very important how the epistle should be read. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you pay attention to every single detail. How tenses are used.
you see, in this kind of reading, you know the way someone who read for an exam is similar. Do you understand? It's similar. You read to the details. You read to the details. You also, you know, in reading to the details, you observe figures of speech. You will not take figures of speech and use it literal. Do you understand me? You will not use figure of speech literal. And you will not take, do you understand me? You will not use it literal. To use it literal is not to have, is not to understand what you are reading. Hallelujah. So you observe the figures of speech and then you will not use it literal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we also said that this kind of reading is what breeds spiritual growth. It's what brings spiritual growth. You cannot find spiritual growth outside wholesome reading. Outside wholesome reading, what you would have would be, what you would have outside wholesome reading would be half-baked preachers, half-baked. Glory to God, half-baked. So wholesome reading is important. So, very important. Every disciple of Christ must be found studying like this. Must be found studying like this. In Matthew 28:19. I'll start from verse 18. He said, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He said, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So that word disciples is on the word matitio, is the Greek word matitio, which means to make scholars, to make students. It is from the noun matites. Matitis is used for a student or a pupil. So if you look at verse 20 carefully, it says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So, very important. The way disciples are raised is via teaching. The way disciples are raised is via teaching. You don't raise disciples outside teaching. It's not by watching TV. It's not by acting movie. It's not by doing choreography. You don't raise students that way. Did you get that? You don't raise students that way. You know, it is observed that Acts started way before Christ was born. Acts started way before Christ was born. So you have those drama, choreography. They were before Christ was born, right? But yet, we didn't find Jesus telling his disciples, "Go and act drama. Go ye therefore and raise disciples or make disciples acting drama of what I've done. Doing choreography of what I've done." No. Say teaching them. In the book of Mark we put it as keruso, preach, announce. In the face of what is trending, he said preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Preach. With your mouth, preach, announce. Glory to God. There are some set of folks who are now doing their announcement via Facebook. It doesn't change. See, you can't take away Listen, you can't take away that point of going out and evangelizing. Nothing can take it away. That is the primary way the gospel should be preached. In fact, that is the way the gospel should be preached, by announcing with the mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm winning souls over the internet. They are just building you a house on top of food. No foundation. Glory to God. I'm building. Very soon, I told somebody, that was last year, I said, very soon we'll start having apostles on the internet. Said, yes, now, since we now have apostles in the marketplace, we now start hearing, I'm an apostle in the internet. And I've been called into cyber. You start hearing things like, I've been called into cyber ministry. Just you will know that I said it to you today. The Lord showed me that He has called me to cyber ministry to win souls over the internet. Hallelujah. It's not possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. They go into the world and preach. No acting. Hallelujah. No acting. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. So that is the way the gospel is reached. That is the way, people get to know the gospel, by preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the gospel should be preached. In the days of Paul, they had acts. They had acts, they had dramas. But yet, Paul preached. Hallelujah. Peter preached. They never had a concert where they used movies to act on what Jesus did. As he was coming and we saw him. No, it was never acted. So make sure you know that you don't raise disciples outside preaching. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Outside teaching, rather. Hallelujah. So this is why teaching is the primary meeting of the believers. When we gather together, we preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Teaching becomes primary in believers' gathering. Primary. Teaching them to observe. Teaching them to. Hallelujah. That's why Paul would teach for a long time. Jesus taught them 40 days. Teaching is primary. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus models for us how teaching should be done. Rather, Jesus models how teaching should be done. In Luke 24, Luke chapter 24, verses 25. Luke 24:25 into 27. He says, and he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. You know, we're going to look at this. I said it as we were starting. I said, understanding the gospel series 2b, we would have it in the month of September. Hallelujah. And we'll be looking at, so we'll take it from beginning at Moses. So we'll look at Moses minus Genesis. We'll look at Moses minus Genesis. Are you hearing me? Look at Moses. Look at Isaiah, Psalms. Not in this, but we'll look at it at different points in time. We might not finish Moses even in this 2B we're going to be looking at. We might not finish Moses. But, you know, I'm just giving us how we're going to investigate the gospel preached in the Old Testament. We'll see it. Do you understand? We'll see it. And all the while it was preached, it was never acted. It was announced. Then it was later, it was announced, and later it was given to them as a figure. You understand? But it was first of all preached. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So he said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. See, he expounded unto them. That's the word diamenu. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So let's look at that. Now Jesus models for us how teaching should be done. So he taught as concerning himself. Look at verses 44. He says, and he said to them, these words which I spoke to you, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Concerning me. So Jesus will teach concerning himself. Hallelujah. Is this the way he taught them at the resurrection? He shows you that was the same way he taught them while he was with them. He said, these are the things which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. Meaning all the parables of Christ, listen, all the parables, every time he taught, every time he gave a parable, was concerning his work. Do you understand? Was concerning what he will do, which he has done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In John chapter 5, verse 39. John 5, 39. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. Jesus is saying, the scriptures, which is the Old Testament writings, say they testify of me. Meaning they testify of him. Hallelujah. They bore witness of him. Hallelujah. For him to use that word, they bore witness of him, it shows that he predates the scriptures. Do you understand me? He predates the scriptures. They bore witness of him. We saw that during understanding the gospel, the last series. Hallelujah. The scriptures talks about him. Okay? Glory to God. Look at verse 46. Of that John 5. It says, for if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. Jesus is saying Moses' writing was centered on him. What is the writing centered on him? Concerning what? All things of the fulfillment written in the law. All of Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. That is the summary of what they wrote about. Christ's work. Did you get that? So Jesus will teach that way. So that is why when you read Jesus' response to the Pharisees, and you read it as though he's answering them normal, you will miss it. Remember, we said something during the last teaching meeting that if you stick to the facts, you will lose the message. Right? We said the truth is hidden amongst facts, but you are not going to look at what the facts. Right? Your eyes should be on the truth, which is what salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So therefore, when they came meeting Jesus in Matthew 19, and they asked him, Moses, concerning Moses and divorce, and Jesus said, from the beginning it was not so. Jesus was not responding to them. Listen, he was not responding to them on the question they asked him literally. Do you understand me? His response to them was what? From Genesis. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Was from Genesis. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Say, God, who at some various times, you know, God who has various times. You don't start up a right of God. Don't start it off. So automatically you say at various times, right? But let's just continue. God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet. And I mean has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all these things, through whom he made the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, Jesus, he said, whom he has appointed heir. He said in the last days, he has, which is the last days will refer to the fulfillment of the words of the prophet. Hallelujah. He said, Christ is the fulfillment of the words of the prophet. That is what he's saying. He has made heir of all the words of the prophet. So he is the fulfillment of the words of the prophet. That shows that the prophet spoke concerning him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 1, verses 1 into 2. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, said, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. He said he promised before through the prophet. So the prophet will speak concerning his son, concerning Christ Jesus, verse 3, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Very important. Very important. So why would they talk about Christ? Look at that 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3. Wanambi, verse 15. See, from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise through faith. I mean, wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, he uses the word salvation. Sotera, salvation. Now, first of all, you cannot be talking about salvation, sotera, without talking about the sota, which is the one who does the work. Do you understand? So, you cannot be writing about salvation, soteria, without talking about the sota. Do you understand me? The sota is the one who does the work. So the scripture would testify about the sota, the one who does the work, which is what? Jesus. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important. We'll look at that also in the coming days. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So in Luke 24 again, it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Right? Right? Okay. So that means for him to say begin at Moses, meaning he started from Genesis. Genesis is Moses, right? Genesis is Moses. So he said beginning at, you can read it like this. Beginning at Moses down to Malachi, right? He expounded to them. That is, when he said he expounded to them, that is the word diamenu. Meaning, the word diamenu means to go through so as to explain. Do you understand? Went through to explain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and in that explanation, we explain both the language of the prophet. Do you understand? He explained through the scripture. And he explained the language of the prophet too. Now he said, he explained to them. Now, in going through the scripture, what do you think he's doing? He's shedding light on all the scriptures together. Right? So that means he brought the scriptures together for them. He taught through the scriptures and he brought it together. Now, that is the reason why in verse 45, Luke will now write, and he opened their understanding. Remember, this is a third party. Is it third party that they call it now? this is an eyewitness, but an eyewitness that was not a witness. You understand this? So it's a third party eyewitness. He was naturally not a witness, but he was telling what he had been told. Do you understand me? So he will now say, and he opened their understanding. Listen, dianogio, understanding, nobus, right? Yeah. That they might comprehend. And they might understand. That word understand is the word comprehend, is the word sunema. That they might understand sunema, the scriptures. Now that word sunema or sunemi. Means to bring together. Do you understand me? That they might, so he brought it together. Jesus brought Genesis to Malachi. Do you understand me? And he explained it to them. He brought it together. So that they can now see the explanation through them. I mean through Genesis to Malachi. Do you understand that? So he brought everything and he explained. So now when they look at Genesis to Malachi, so this is now they cannot explain those events. It is now beyond a story. Do you understand me? Remember, for the Pharisees it will be a story. But you know, now they cannot say, no, it's not that story. It is not, it's not that their experience. They now see salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, all true from Genesis to Malachi. They cannot comprehend everything. Do you understand me? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pastor Shepard will say it is like two people from different times talking together. When you read it all together, you will discover that it is like two people talking together. Moses is talking and Isaiah is replying. You know, you are reading it together. Do you understand me? You've read all together. You see, discover that it's like they're having a conversation and they're talking about one person. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Who is the center team? Christ. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Every experience of every verse will be linked to Christ. I didn't say that. But if you explain it all true, right? You will discover that Christ is the center of everything that happened. You will find their experiences, right? You will find their activities, but you will find Christ at the center. We will look at those things in coming years. In the years to come, we will look at it. Hallelujah. We are not rushing to anywhere. 2 years, 50 years, 70 years. We are not rushing to anywhere. We are here together. Hallelujah. We keep learning and keep learning and keep learning. Right? We keep learning and keep growing. Hallelujah. Okay. So that is the diamenu that they can now see the explanation from Genesis to Malachi. They can now see that is diamenu. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That what happened in Luke 24, that teaching truth. Look at Matthew 5 verse 17. Hey, Matthew 5, look at verse 17. Are you there? He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. Then let's go through 18 into 19. He says, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth will pass away, one jot or one little will by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled.
Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of the commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God.
When he talks about that, they say, let your righteousness be more righteous than the scribes. He's talking about let it be faith in Christ, right? Hallelujah. Let it be found in Christ.
What it means. Okay. Now, when you know, if you look at Matthew 5:17 very well, he says, I've not come to destroy, right? I've not come, do not think I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill.
Would you say that scripture is fulfilled in Luke 24? Everybody's quiet. Would you say that scripture is fulfilled in Luke 24? Let's see it together.
Oh, it uses the word fulfill, which is plero. Listen, the word plero means to make manifest or to bring together, as to explain. That is to make manifest, to make something visible, to make it visible.
And this can also be done by explaining.
We'll look at that shortly now. Now, he uses another word. He says, I have not come to destroy. Now, when he uses that word destroy, is the word katalao. Katalao. K-A-T-A-L-A-U-O. It implies to demolish or to bring down, to overthrow. Like you overthrown something. You find that word in Matthew 24:2. In the same Matthew. Matthew 24:2. He used as to be thrown down. Say, do you not see? I mean, Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left here on another that shall not be thrown down. In 26:61, Matthew 26:61, but found none, even though many false witnesses came forward and found none. Sorry a second. Sorry, 27:40. Sorry. 27:40. Matthew 27:40. He says, and saying, this is what they said he was saying. He said, and saying, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And remember, Jesus never said he would destroy the temple. He said, you destroy the temple. Right? That's what he said. But you know, people have a way they listen. Hallelujah. So you said you would destroy the temple. That word destroy, to bring down, right? You find the same word in Romans 14:20, to overthrow. When it talks about that brother who
the brother that doesn't like to eat meat and things like that.
It's to overthrow. You find the same word in 2 Corinthians 5:1 and Galatians 2:18. Now when he says the law and the prophets, he was making reference to Genesis down to Malachi.
Was making reference to from Genesis to Malachi.
Do you understand? When he said the law and the prophets, he made reference to Genesis, from Genesis to Malachi. Let's go back to that Matthew 5. Now he said, do not think I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. Make reference to the words of from Genesis to Malachi, both the words of the prophets. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, listen.
He did not come to put down, to overthrow the scriptures. But I say, I have come to fulfill. Remember, the word to fulfill is to make manifest. And when you make something manifest, what happens? Everybody sees the light, right? Everybody sees the light. So, what he did in Luke chapter 24, for that 40 days, he explained from Genesis to Malachi. Do you understand? And now everybody can now say, oh, so this is what he's talking about. Oh, what has he done? He has fulfilled it. Do you understand? He explained. So, his resurrection in itself is that fulfillment. All what Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Did you get that? So his resurrection is the fulfillment of all what they've been saying. So he explained it to them. Did you understand that? Hallelujah.
Very important. So we can say the resurrection of Christ from Luke 24. 25 to 26 is the fulfillment of the scriptures in a nutshell.
We would open it in September. We will open now this word in a nutshell. It is no longer being in a nutshell. We will tear it open. And then we will see it together. Right? Hallelujah. That nutshell will now be. When nutshell is open, what is it called? We'll open it. Hallelujah. We'll see it together.
Appreciate. Okay. Glory to God. So, a good disciple, a good Bible student, must be able to explain Christ from the scriptures. And in doing so, he will be careful in handling Bible truth.
Very important. You know, when people don't appreciate Bible truth, don't appreciate scriptural truth, they treat it anyhow. Just come out and say, just quote one scripture. If God be for us. Okay, let me not quote that one. To that situation, I've forgotten several times because I made up my mind not to put any scripture outside context. So now I'm not looking for them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm looking for all those scriptures that I used to quote to that those years. Can't find them anymore. Seriously, I can't. Remind me of one scripture now. Okay. True.
Why we look not at the things which are seen, or the things which are not seen? The things which are seen are temporal. This is temporal. That is temporal. You're just handling it anyhow.
See that? You're just handling it anyhow. You know that is like someone thank God the fullness of blessings did not get to that point. Someone would have said, you know, we are joint heirs. That means should in case, let's say one day God dies. that's the height of it. Let's say God dies and there's not somebody that we are not looking for who will take over the throne. We have equal right as Jesus. Okay. You understand? You just imagine that. Because, you know, it shows how people do not handle biblical truth with carefulness. It must be handled with carefulness. This is the reason why Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved. As one approved of God, he said, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the words of truth. That word, rightly dividing the words of truth, is the word osotomio, which shows carefulness in handling scriptural truth. So, one who teaches the scripture, a good Bible student, will be careful In how we use this scripture. Remember, I said this last week. I said you should not quote any verse that you've not read in context. It's a training you can do. You know, yes, I know we have times that we do memory verse. I've been in some Sunday school teacher before. We'll quote memory verse. But we'll quote in context, out of context, overthrown context. If I would do some Yupa Balo. Yupa Balo, we'll throw it up. It's not just out of context, it has exceeded context. Glory to God. So you don't quote scripture that you've not read in context. Make it a practice. Just tell them, I will not be found quoting scripture I've not read in context. So until you read in context, until you read in context, don't use it. While I was preparing for these messages, I'll tell you something will happen. I actually read a scripture and I told myself, I'm not going to add this scripture until I read it in context. You know that? So that was Ezekiel 28. And I had to go back. and I was reading it. And it was in the middle of the night. Middle of the night. You know what that means? I was reading it. I will not. Easily, nobody was there with me. Right? And I just put this picture. No! Went back again. I've not read this one in context. This one. I was reading in context 5 years. Jonathan had to go back. Started reading. In context, there was nothing I went to start from verse 1. That's not context. Jonathan, it can take me 2 days. I was sharing with somebody how I study. And I told the person, let's say I'm reading, for example, 1 Corinthians. That's Pastor Sikan. Let's say I'm reading 1 Corinthians. And I get to chapter 7 today. Maybe now. And after 2 hours, I want to continue. Or let's say tomorrow, I want to continue. I will not start from chapter 7. I will go back to 1. And start it. Because, you know, that is discipline. It's personal discipline I've given to myself. You understand? I must be able to finish a whole book. That's how it's read. You must read in context. You understand? You must read in context. There's no way. I'm not rushing to anyone. And I cannot be done teaching Bible in 1 year. So we'll keep learning and teaching. You understand? So there's no way to run to. Gone are the days when we are running. There's no competition. We are doing it. You understand? We are studying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there's no way we are running to. We are studying together. We are reading together. So you must learn to use. Don't see. Make it an habit. I will not be found quoting what I've not read in context. It's as dangerous as that. As in, quoting what you've not read in context. I've heard Pastor Smart use it, so let me go and read the context before you use it yourself. You understand? You look at it very well before you use it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So a good disciple of Christ is not found using scriptures anyhow. Bible fell down. You stand inside. You not put the Holy One to see corruption. You have made the Word of God to see corruption. I knew it. You are just using scripture anyhow. That is careless use of scripture. You don't use that. You don't do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in being careful, you don't jump at biblical truth. I don't have this in my notes, but Pastor Shabu will say something like, you don't jump to use punchlines. You don't just use punchlines. So you don't jump into biblical truth anyhow. No. Before you arrive at a biblical truth, you must
You must have two or more witnesses. That is what we are taught from the scriptures. You must have two or more witnesses. That word witnesses will be people saying the same thing. Then as you must have two or more from scriptures. So you don't just jump by biblical truth. Much more the reason we are actually having this message. Because there are a lot of people that have heard me teach about immortality before. Much more the reason why this teaching is going on. Yeah, maybe we are heavy about immortality. Let me talk about dimensions. Please, bro. Sis. Carry those dimensions. Pack them together. Use a band. Tie them. Look for the bottomless pit. Burn them. Understand? Gather them wherever they are. Wherever they are, gather them. Bind them very well. Go to the bottomless pit, put them there, and burn them to ashes. That's majorly, you see, part of the reason is that is the reason for this teaching. Glory to God. See, I'm confessing, I'm saying my own the way it is. Glory to God. There's a tenth dimension. How did you arrive? You know, people like to hear that. Lazy believers like to hear that. We were not lazy. We are not lazy. But you heard it there. Hallelujah. But you know, it as a result of the fact that I can't explain it. It's not what I will explain in this podium. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe on my birthday I will explain it. I will explain a lot of things on my birthday. Don't worry. I'm reserving a very good speech for my birthday. Good speech. Glory to God. So let's. And very vital. Very vital. How did we arrive at that? Well, you just want to go for a meeting. You know, a few days ago, I was just thinking about it. You are doing it, you are doing it, you are doing it. Yeah, you are there. So, yes, yeah. We are coming back. The realm of transportation. Yes. You know, I was not looking at this. I'm not looking at how did we arrive at this conclusion. And I'm saying, this is actually Philip. I heard this thing from him. And I went back to Philip, as in Acts, and the Ethiopian, you know. I was just looking at that. Okay, where is the corresponding text? No way. And you know the funny thing? Listen, you know the funny thing? When I first saw that scripture, listen. When I first saw that scripture years back, I took it to a brother. And then I said, can you see this? The first thing the brother told me was, is there any corresponding scripture? Because we were listening to Kenneth Hagin very well. Do you understand? So we were like, Kenneth Hagin said we have two or more scriptures. Now, me being smart that I am, I now want to bring my smartness into the speech. And I say, man of God. You know, when God wants to do something, sometimes he just puts it there once. Pyah! That wants to tell you what he will do. You know, just later, I'm just looking at it again. I'm like, maybe we'll see. But it did not disappear. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Papa just want to come up for that place. You know, so you'll not be like, I went back to Timothy. He has abolished death and has brought life and immortality. How was I then reading? Jonathan, I'm not questioning how I'm not reading. How was I then? The scales were now falling off my eyes. Jonathan, now I'm not reading in context. You know, on your own, you always say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when I, you know, you now back it up with the Spirit of God is saying, you know, the Spirit of God is explaining the Scripture. Your head, your head is communicating with your mind. The Spirit of God is the Lord of the Scriptures. Bro, go ahead in the context. You know that is the Lord of the Scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, at least we didn't go beyond this. Glory to God. So we look at much more than we are doing this study, especially when we get to talk about immortality in itself. Hallelujah. We understand it better. Now we'll now teach that same scriptures in the light. Hallelujah. Of context. Glory to God. I will see that next week. So, in handling biblical truth, you arrive at biblical conclusion from two or more witnesses. Those witnesses will be people saying the same things, right? We'll find that in Matthew 18:18, 1 Timothy 5:19, two or more. Glory to God. We've looked at it last week and last 2 weeks. So, before you get to this point, you should have read, you should have listened to 1 Corinthians 14 verse 27, two or more. So, we said in interpreting scriptures, you do not do not think that the meaning of a word will have the same meaning everywhere it is used. Do not think that because it is used like this here, that is how it should be used all through. That is the meaning all through. Do you understand? We said context is king, right? A word derives its meaning in the context of its usage. So you have to read in context. Read in context. Our old man is crucified with Christ. And that young guy will say, we now know who Paul's father is. Paul's father is the man that died with Christ on the throne, on the cross. That guy, that's him. And you would ask, if you ask him next time, he'll tell you it's a revelation from God. It's wrong. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Context is king. You must know what Paul was discussing there when he said that old man. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. That is, Paul was referring to identification. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we do not generalize. We do not generalize. So in doing that, we saw the word eternal, right? Right? Much more as a younger believer, I used to call it antenna. Eh? Antenna. We saw the word eternal, that it could mean what is without an end, right? What is ceaseless. And we said it can also be something that is limited to time. That is the word aionis or aionos. Aeon. I like that word. And aeonios. Okay. It could mean that word eternal. So if I say eternal means everyone find it, it means something that is limited. You know, you'll have missed it, right? Because from our study, we saw that God's power, God's dominion, God's authority is forever, right? We saw that it's forever without an end. But yet, we also saw where that word also means for something that is limited, right? Did you see that? Okay. So we saw that too. Okay, we also saw last week that to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to speak against the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's to speak against the Spirit work, which is not believing, that is rejecting the gospel. When you say, he who sins against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Now, somebody will now come and say, to sin against the Holy Spirit is when you say, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord does not say, thus saith the Lord. No. Then I said, you see, hey, say he who sins against the Son of Man, meaning he who sins against Jesus shall be forgiven. He who now sins against the Spirit shall never be forgiven. Then I said, we saw that, right?
Okay.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 3 verse 28. Mark 3 28. So we're making progress. Mark 3 28. We'll take it out from here. It says, "Assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the Son of Man, and whatever blasphemy they may offer. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation."
Hey! If you sin against the Holy Spirit, you will never be forgiven. We saw that to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to speak against the Holy Spirit, against the Spirit work, right? And when it talks about speaking against the Spirit work, what is the work of the Spirit? Salvation, right? So that means rejection of the gospel, right? Hallelujah.
So let's look at something. Paul says, uses a word in verse 29. He says, "Shall be subject," right? Old King James says, "Shall be in the danger of what? Eternal damnation," right? Right? Okay. Now the word "subject" or "danger" implies to be liable or guilty of. That is the word. The word "to be in danger of" means to be liable or to be guilty of. Meaning, whoever blasphemes, meaning whoever rejects the gospel, right? Now the blasphemy against the Spirit. He says, "Shall be guilty of eternal condemnation." Now what "eternal" is the word "aionos." Aionos. Aionos. I must visit Greek. Or Greece one. Must. Glory to God. Now know what "aionos" means? What is ceaseless, right? We saw that, right? What is endless, right? Okay. What's also that it means something that is continuous and bound by time. Something continuous but is bound by time. We saw that too, right? So it has these two meanings. So remember, we say this context, right, that determines what it's talking about. So we're going to look at it in context, and we're going to look at it from corresponding witnesses. Is that how it's supposed to be done? Corresponding witnesses and in context, right? Okay, let's look at it. So, what Jesus is referring here is that that person is subject or is guilty of continuous sin. Is guilty of continuous sin as long as he remains unrepentant. He's guilty. Now, as long as he stays rejecting the gospel, he is guilty of continuous sin. We said this last week, right? Did you look at this last week? He's guilty of continuous sin as long as. Now, we looked at Paul. Blasphemed against the Holy Spirit before he got saved, right? Right? Paul has something to say about that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's see what Paul had to say about it. This is Paul himself. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. He says, "Now, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who had enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer." Did you see that? I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. Insolent means someone who is arrogant, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
But he obtained mercy. He received the Spirit. That is mercy. Mercy will be what? The gospel, right? Right? The Spirit, right? Okay. That is forgiveness of sins, right? Okay. Now, Paul is an example of a blasphemer.
But as soon as he received mercy, what happened? Is he still called a blasphemer? He said, I was formerly. Did you see that? Is he still a blasphemer? No. So, put that in the context of what Jesus is saying in Matthew. His duty of continual sin till the point he repents. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Shepherd shared a story with us about a young girl who was crying that the father is not a Christian. He's not born again. Why? Because the father raped her while she was still young. Now in her head, the father is born again. Her cry is not that the father is saved, no. Cry is not the fact that God will not punish the man again. Do you understand? But if you look at it critically, will God punish the man again? No. Interesting, right? And that is salvation. Do you understand? Just like that thief on the cross. At that point, while Jesus was with him, he recognized him as the Lord. That is salvation. Salvation came to him. He is not going to hell. Do you understand? He can go to hell. It's just like the man that is sentenced to death by hanging. And maybe while he was taking to be hanged, he gave his life, or he received salvation, rather. He received salvation. Listen. He received salvation. Bro, even if he killed your father, mother, brother, sister, uncle, and they convicted him, and on that way, on the way to be hanged, he received salvation. Bro, he's real. Okay, please leave the hear me. He's free. In fact, you'll be amazed that when you get there, you see him. Ah! Right here. This is not the cleaner. The shoemaker. Hallelujah. In fact, he has the same degree of sonship that you have. It's hard to hear, but that's the truth. You understand? That's the truth. He's not less a son than you. In fact, you know something, that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by one spirit you have obtained it from. Seriously. In fact, you are from the same source. No matter what he has done to you in the natural, you don't know. This is the reason why Paul will write to Philemon concerning Onesimus. Because right now this guy is not born again. Do you understand? He's not born again. So the way you see him has got to change. But sir, he stole my phone. Now my iPhone 10. 10S. I bought it 290,000. Bro, he's a brother now. In fact, maybe by that time, he has taken the phone to US and is back on deportation. He's deported him. He's not born again. Now you don't see him with Bible. Now sir, I forgive him, but I've not forgotten. You have to do restitution. He is born again. He is son like you. In fact, he is a heir. Joint heir with Christ as you are. Do you understand? It is the truth. That bully, you have condemned to hellfire. I know. That your bully. Seriously. So the lady was crying. Is it the same heaven that I'm going that he's going? He's going the same place. See what I'm saying? Aha. Glory to God. It's not my fault, it's scripture. That is how it is. Hallelujah. That is how it is. In fact, that is the nature of our Father. You have to understand the nature of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God forgives without traces. Hallelujah. He forgives without traces. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So the man who blasphemes is a man who is not saved, right? Let's go back. The man who blasphemes is the man who is not saved. We have to finish this thing. So, very important. We saw that the wrath of God is the absence of God. Is the absence of God's spirit in a man. We saw that, right? The wrath of God. What is it? The wrath of God. The wrath of God is not actually God killing a man. The wrath of God is not actually God doing something to somebody. No. The wrath of God is a man not having Christ. That's the wrath of God. That is the wrath of God. Do you understand? That is the wrath of God. We'll see something shortly. That is the wrath of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we saw that last week, but let's look at it again. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8 into 9. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, in flaming fire, it's explaining God's vengeance, Ali.
Yes.
It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Right? And on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, look at verse 9. Explains verses 8. This shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. He used the word from, apo, away from. Meaning, they shall be punished with what everlasting destruction away from the presence of God. Now when you hear the word the presence of God, it talks about the spirit of God, right? 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 Hallelujah. Postpone an appearing from somewhere. Where did Christ appear in our heart? Right? Where did the spirit dwell in our heart? So when it says everlasting punishment, everlasting destruction away from God's presence, it means without God's presence. So that is the punishment. Outside God's presence. Man without the presence of God is punishment. Is that destruction? Did you get that? That is the destruction. A man to live without God's presence. Without God's presence is the punishment. That is the destruction there. That is the wrath of God. So the wrath of God is not actually God doing something. The wrath of God is God doing nothing. It's God not being present. Do you understand? That is the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not God sending fire. No. The wrath of God is God not being present. Do you understand? He's away from his presence. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Did you get that? You got it? Okay. Let's move ahead. So he uses the word destruction, right? Right? Destruction is the word oletros. Oletros. O-L-E-T-H-R-O-S. It implies to lose something. To lose something. You find the same word in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 3. To lose something. It says, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Even for me, that there will be labor case over a pregnant woman. See, you shall give birth like the Hebrew children, like the Hebrew women, without pains. Be careful of such prayer. When the pain shall come, begin to say, oh Lord, where are thou? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, a woman who gets pregnant, they are praying for you. You keep praying like the Hebrew woman without pain. Don't even say amen. When your pains will come. Glory to God. You go see the pains well. And God blesses you. Your husband is not like the type. And when the pains come, they will run away. Glory to God. Somebody will say, but this man is talking, he's prophesying about himself. Listen. in the next few months, we will know if I'm the one. First Corinthians 5:5. Destruction, right? Oletros. First Corinthians 5:5. It says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Remember, we said this is not actually saying, I give you to Satan. No. When it talks about Satan here, Satanos is used for opposition. That, do you understand? To oppose, right? Now, you actually, yeah, what Paul is talking about is open rebuke. Do you understand me? Eh? Open rebuke. Now, he said for the destruction of the flesh. Now, when he talks about for the destruction of the flesh, not that you will not be, the person will not be sick in his body. No. Do you understand me? Remember the word destruction there is oletros, to lose something. Hallelujah. So that for the discipline of the flesh. Do you understand that? Hmm? For the discipline of the flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To lose something. So the key issue there is the flesh. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Okay, 1 Timothy 6:9 will have the same word used. So what Paul is saying here is that when a man rejects the gospel, from the time he does, when a man rejects the gospel, from the time he does reject the gospel, he rejects the presence of God. So he lives without it for as long as he is unbelieving. Do you understand? As long as he is unbelieving. So let's go back to that Matthew again. Glory to God. Mark 3. Before we get to, we're still going to Matthew 25. Let's go to Mark 3. Verse 23. 28 rather. He says, 29 rather, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, against the Holy Spirit, never has forgiveness. Now, when you now see that never has forgiveness, is it relative, or the person will never receive forgiveness? Is it relative? It's actually relative, right? To the point that he does not. Do you understand me? To the point that he does not believe. As long as he does it. It's not that he will never. Just like that young guy that said this, you have gone into hypothesis, you can never receive salvation again. I see this is his uncle that have the that did the work. It's painful. Whenever I think about that thing. But you know that kind of anger that comes to you when the person can't even talk to the person. Because the person is gross. So you just be raging downward. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So is to the degree that he does, to the extent that he does not believe. Now he now said he's subject to eternal condemnation. We're going to look at that word eternal right now. But we'll see that the condemnation is what? The absence of God, right? The absence of Christ, right? Right? Glory to God. John 3:16-18 now makes sense. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. Right? Look at verses 18. He says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. That condemnation there for the man who does not believe, it is what? Away from the presence of God. Do you understand me? Did you get that? It is away from the presence of God. Did you get that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go up one bit. So, question will now be, sir,
What now happens when a man dies without believing? Adi? What then happens when a man dies without believing?
Hebrews 2 verse 3. Quickly. Hebrews 2 3. That will be the next question that will come to mind. Is there a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth?
Where they will just be there? Why will just be born in there? Sir, somebody told us that he went to hellfire. He went. And he came back. Yes. and he saw names of people that he knows. And when he saw them, they were just born. In fact, I read once, that was just like I said, the fire was burning their skin. Skin.
Wonderful.
Yes, sir. And the fire was burning the skin. After a while, when I hear, you don't be hearing noise. That there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've never had such dreams. And I can never have it. Hallelujah. Sometimes where those people went to is just their backyard. Yes, ma'am. Sometimes where they went to is just their backyard. Or sometimes it's just as a result of the fact that they've heard too many Sunday school stories. And when they were sleeping, their brain was still trying to process it. And they began to see cliches or pictures. They now woke up with it. And many of them have made millions for their family. Why did I just see small? Small. Maybe I'll be standing with kings. You know?
Glory to God. Let's look at Hebrews 2 3, right? I'll start from verse 2. If the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive the just reward. We'll look at this, the ministry of angels this year, and we'll get to discuss this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard it. Say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? That word escape is the word ekphogo. Ekphogo. E-K-P-H-E-U-G-O. E-K-P-H-E-U-G-O. Ekphogo. It means to seek safety. Meaning it means, how can we seek safety if we neglect so great salvation? Where can we hide? Very important. Hallelujah. You find that word in Luke 21:36, Romans 2:3, Luke 21:36, Romans 2:3, 2 Corinthians 11:33, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. You use another word again, neglect. How can we seek safety if we neglect? That word neglect is the word amelo. A-M-E-L-E-O. Amelo. It's used for what is not valued. What is not valued. In Matthew 22, Matthew 22 verse 5, Jesus, in giving a parable about the wedding feast, in verse 5, spoke about how those who were invited made light the invitation. They made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. They esteemed it low, without value. Do you understand? Made low, they esteemed low. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, it's used for as neglect. Neglect not the gift of God. In Hebrews, we have it used in Hebrews 8 verse 9, 2 Peter 1 verse 12. 2 Peter 1 12, Hebrews 8 9.
So, meaning the man who rejects, who does not believe the gospel. Listen, the man does not believe the gospel is saying two things. Number one, he's not valuing Christ's work. He does not place value on Christ's work. Also, he's saying, or also that one is not in safety from a sore punishment. It's not in safety. That one is not in safety. Meaning there's a sore punishment for him, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, look at that first. That's 2 Thessalonians again, chapter 1, verse 18 to 9. I want to dwell in verse 9. It says, "This shall be punished with everlasting destruction." Remember, we say that destruction is at the absence of God's presence, right? Right? That destruction is away from the presence of God, right? Okay. So, the wrath of God is the absence of God's presence in a man. We've said that. So, what does Paul now mean when he now uses the word everlasting or eternal destruction? We're going to do some background check. This scripture that Paul is quoting, this 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Let's do a background check. Let's see where is Paul actually quoting from. Do you understand? Or where is Paul actually explaining from? That should be better said, because he's actually explaining scriptures, right? Now, where is Paul actually explaining from? Let's go down to Ezekiel chapter 28. Like I said, I have to read this in context. Where? Ezekiel 28.
And reading in context, a man had a read study, had a Bible study.
Ezekiel 28. I feel like reading from verse 1. But it's long. Let's just go down to verse 17 into 18. It says, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings, that they gaze at you." He says, "You defied your sanctuaries by multitudes of your iniquities, by the iniquities of your trading. Before, therefore, I brought fire from your midst." Take note of where the fire is coming from. Fire from where? Your midst. "It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you." Take note of that word. "I turned you to ashes." I told you to take note of two words. First of all, the fire was from where? Right? And turned to ashes, right? Glory to God. So, number one, you must understand that the presence of God is not available here. Right? You've heard the word iniquity. So, the presence of God can't be there. Did you get that? Aha. So, where did the fire come from? From within them, right? And then they were burnt up to ashes. Now, listen, is God involved in this? God is not. Did you understand that? Did you understand that? Okay, we'll look at something else. Look at Malachi 4 verse 1. I believe Paul is actually explaining these two scriptures when he wrote, while he was writing that Thessalonians, when he was writing Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. So, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven." This look closely, more closely, much more close to that 2 Thessalonians. You read from verse 7, 8, 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, 8, 9. This looks very close. So,
For behold, are you with me? For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch.
Is God involved? Yet again, God is not involved. Did you see?
So let's look at something quickly. The prophets, when the prophet said the day comes, it implied that they, the proud and the wicked, shall be destroyed. He speaks of extinction, not a place of continual suffering or torture. Not a place of, there's a place where people will be and they will be born. No, he speaks of extinction. Remember, I told us to take note of what fire from their meat and burnt to ashes. We have burnt to ashes, meaning to nothing. Take note of the second word. Take note of the second one. He said, they shall stumble, right? Right? Are we together? They shall be burnt up and will leave neither root nor branch. That means the man who does not believe, what the prophet is saying here is that they would not exist. Let's see what Psalms will say. Psalms 37. That's what David will say. Psalms 37. Verses 10. It says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Take note of that. The wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but there shall be no more. Psalms 37 verse 10. There shall be no more. Did you see that? You will look carefully for his place, and there will be no more. 68 verse 2. Psalm 68 verse 2. Psalm 68 verse 2. He says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Now that perish at the presence of God, is it with the presence of God or away from God's presence? It will be away from God's presence. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what David is saying is that there will be no more. Not a place of weeping and mourning and hitting of teeth. Is a place of there will be no more. That's what the prophets are saying. Do you understand me? That's what they are saying. Question. I now want to put a span somewhere. A spanner somewhere. Should I put a spanner? The spanner on hand. Is a prophet now? Is this Christ's work? Is this Christ's work? Is this Christ's work? Do you feel me? Is this Christ's work? Now I face the scripture. Okay, no problem. Let me not. I wouldn't do that. Don't worry. We'll look at it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Just make sure you follow teachings regularly. Here's the only thing I can tell you. Hallelujah. Make sure you follow teachings regularly. Is a rejection of Christ's work. So this prophecy is a prophecy. Now, listen. Meaning, in the prophecy of the prophet, they prophesied about Christ's work. The prophecy also have there. There's also prophecy against. I mean, for those who will reject Christ's work. Do you understand me? And this is part of the prophecy for those who will reject Christ's work. Do you understand? So that is why Jesus will now say, he who does not believe stands condemned already. Where is the condemnation coming from? It has been spoken of by the prophets. Where will these prophets, listen, where will the prophet now get this prophecy from? From Moses. Do not say John 5:45, right? Eh? There's one who accuses you, who? Moses, in whom you trust. Did you understand that? So remember, Moses is the writer. I was discussing with Pastor Wisdom today about teaching on the law of Moses. Moses is a writer that other prophets wrote from. So he is the beginning of scripture. Of scripture writing. Do you understand? He's the beginning at Moses. Do you understand? Beginning at Moses. Meaning Moses is the beginning of what? Scripture writing. Do you understand? So every other writer, you see them take get their credence from Moses. And I say, I'm not going to teach Moses now. Because I'm still learning Moses. You understand? I'm running away from teaching Moses now. So you just be rejecting it like this. But I know one day we'll put everything together. We'll just title it Moses. Have you? Today we're teaching on Moses. I will not have Moses. Maybe we'll do Moses for months. I'm serious. Because you cannot teach Moses in a rush. The same way you cannot teach Paul in a rush. Somebody said, as if they went to the same university. You just see that brilliance in their writing. The same way. You see that brilliance of Moses, you find it in Paul. Very intelligent way of putting scriptures. Do you understand? So you don't rush. You can't rush Moses though. Right? Look at how we progress in discussing, talking about the law. We'll discuss the law. We'll look at, okay, what is the law? Right? We'll look at, okay, how can we identify the law? And at the end of it, we'll now discover that what we're even calling law of sin and death and law of the spirit of life, they're the same thing. Right? It's just the same thing. But you now discover that one, it is called law of sin and death because of what? Unbelief. Do you understand? Aha. But for those who believe, it is what? Law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? But it's not like different laws. Look at that. Aha. So this Moses is a university of his own. You need to study him well. Do you understand? So other writers will not take credence from Moses. Do you understand? In fact, you will not find Jesus explaining Moses. Did you get that? Okay. Hallelujah. Can we go ahead? I don't want to talk about Moses. Least that at any time, they will now say, Pastor Shegun teaches Paul. You have taken Moses. He will have shared it. So, all of a sudden, I'm just loving Moses. I don't know. I'm just loving Moses. I'm just loving the guy. Moses. And then, you know, when I see Moses, it's just like when you have a problem with, I'm just saying, you have a problem with this big bros. You know, that bigger bros. You have a problem with this big bros. At the end, you talk with this bros. Meaning, when I see Moses, and what does Moses say? Just look at Paul. Bros, I understand that. You know? Do you understand? So, Bible study now becomes sweet. Do you understand? Bible study now becomes sweet. So, very important. Let's study together. Read everything together. Okay, where were we? So David, Abby. So we said the place is not a place of continuous within a national seat where people say they saw, whereas they went to their village. Okay, let's see how they are used in the four gospels, and this is where we'll round up in the four gospels. Matthew 18:8. Matthew 18:8. Then I will know that next week we'll just focus on immortality. Focus on it well. 18 verse 8. It says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. I remember the young child where we were growing up. He said, I'll go cut my hand. Because they make me this, they do waka waka waka. Because that was what they taught us now. They said that you enter heaven with one hand. Hallelujah. Okay. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better you enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. You know, Jesus will use that word everlasting fire. He also used it, that word everlasting fire, where we read last week, to Matthew 25 verse 41. He says to those who are not righteous, in parentheses, goats. Then he will say to those who are at his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for devils and his angel. I mean, prepare for the devil and his angels. This shows you, one, that this fire, listen, this fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you understand me? You find that in Jude 5 to 7. Jude 5 to 7. Jude 5. Say, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, he left their abode. He reserved in everlasting chains. Did you see that? Under darkness or the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and cities around them in similar manner to this, having given themselves over to sexual immoralities and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Okay, so Sodom and Gomorrah becomes an example of one who does not believe. Hope you know that. In Matthew 10, let's see how Jesus will use Sodom and Gomorrah in Matthew 10. Verse 15. I'll start from verse 14. Whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. He's not saying you should carry your. Verse 16. Assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So he links Sodom and Gomorrah to the man who rejects the gospel. Jonathan, so the major issue with Sodom and Gomorrah is the fact that they rejected the gospel, right? Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go back to that Jude. Let's go back to Jude. You cannot come for believers' meeting and you're not opening Bible. You open. We'll keep opening scriptures. Now, look at that Jude verse 7. It says, as Sodom and Gomorrah and cities around them, in similar manner to these things, having given themselves over to sexual immoralities and gone after strange flesh. That strange flesh will be what? They rejected the gospel and to serve other gods, right? Hallelujah. So that is the sexual immorality. Right? As set forth as an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. Now, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. Now, remember what they explain, whether this fire is something that they are. Now, question that will now be asked, is Sodom and Gomorrah still in fire to today? Are they still in fire to today? Is Sodom and Gomorrah still burning to today? I'm not asking jump questions. So,
is it, you know, it's an eternal fire. Meaning, if we go there, we will still see Sodom and Gomorrah burning. Let's talk now. So, because we want to explain what that eternal fire is. Is Sodom and Gomorrah still burning? Am I doing like this? Because, you know, it's not burning. Even if I tell you it's burning, won't you stand up and go home? Are you sure? Yes, now. Should stand up and go home? I'm teaching you another gospel. Yes, now. There are some things you should know by now in scriptures. Just stand up and say, a man of God has backslided. Let's go. Leads to also backslide. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Sodom and Gomorrah is not burning. So, what is this eternal fire about? Right? That's all saying. The eternal fire. What happens when a man dies? Unbelievable.
Okay, let's see what Peter will say. 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter has something to say to get us out of this immediately. Can you now see how we are going from scripture to scripture? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Can somebody say an Jesus to yes? Isn't it?
We are looking at what corresponding witnesses. That's what we are doing now. We are looking at corresponding. Remember, you cannot arrive at a biblical truth from one scripture. So we are looking at scriptures together. That's what we are doing. So therefore, not only that I'm teaching you, I'm also showing you how to arrive at biblical conclusions. Do you understand? Okay, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Now, verse 5 into 6. It says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in flood on the world of the ungodly. Verse 6. And turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Now Peter is explaining what? That eternal fire. From where? From Jude. Did you see that? Can you see that? So what Jude called eternal fire, Peter said is what? Ashes. Did you get that? Aha. Are they saying two different things? No. They're saying the same thing. Hallelujah. And turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. So, Sodom and Gomorrah will not be the example of a man who rejects the gospel and what dies, right? Did you get that? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah is what Jude will call eternal fire, which is what? Burnt down to ashes. So that eternal fire is not like it is continuing. Remember when we spoke about the word eternal, right? You must know how to use it in context. So in the context of Jude's usage, it's not something that will be continuous, but something that is what? Is an experience that you will never have in your life again. Let me put it that way. You understand? So it's not something that is continuous, but Peter will call it ashes. It will not serve as an example to the ungodly. This is what will happen to you, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you understand? You will be burnt to ashes. That is the word extinction. Do you understand me? Did you get that? Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Peter will use the word destruction, right? Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction. Or condemn, that them is in italics, condemn to destruction. That condemn is their unbelief, right? So, Peter speaks of extinction here. That this Sodom and Gomorrah did not exist again. In fact, after that issue, Solomon, there was never a place called Sodom or Gomorrah again till today. Generally, so he talks about total extinction. That generation was wiped out. Wiped, not just wiped, it was cleaned out.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Jude used the word everlasting fire, he referred to being wiped out completely. So it's not a continual suffering. Do you understand me? It's not a continual suffering. So there, when a man dies, he goes to one fire, and then on that last day, they will now become two books. See your life. Head teacher works not the word in two books. Will now show. And then God will now be doing secretary or in Jamaica. Now be calling your name. Don't worry. Very soon. Very soon. You will understand. I believe when we deal with, when we discuss Moses well, you will not have problem with revelations again. You will not. Generally, when you know Moses well, you will not have problem with revelation. Because the book of Revelation would just be writing similarly to the way Moses would write. That's how John wrote. So, do not look at Revelation. Now look at Moses. Now look at the epistles. You are out of it. So you no longer be afraid of two books. Then, you know, some people will now funny. Say when they got to the gate, the angel now carried eyeglass. It's so funny. Some of us have watched WAP TV. Okay, let's round up on time. We are behind time. Okay, let's look at this. So it's not like a continual suffering, like I said. It is what? Burned down to ashes. So it is clear from what we've looked at. Let's take down this 2 points. It's clear that the everlasting is for the effect. That everlasting destruction in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. That everlasting destruction. The everlasting is the effect of the destruction, which is to be wiped out. Do you understand? Which is to be wiped out. And this destruction is by fire. And where is the fire? From within the absence of God. This implies that this fire is such that anyone that would experience it, the ungodly, anyone that will experience it, the destruction is such a way that he will not be seen or found again. So when a man dies unbelieving, he can never be found again. Not in this world, not in when you get to heaven. Once a man dies unbelieving, he can never be found. Like, he can never be seen. He's not going to a place where he'll be shaking. No. He has gone forever. Never to be found again. He has been wiped out. He has been wiped out. Meaning that person will not be seen. That person will be no more. Be no more. That is the danger. So let's go back to Matthew 25, verse 41. I guess this should be the second to the last scripture we'll quote. Matthew 25, 41. You know, on saying this, don't worry. No believer, no child of God that hears messages like this. No believer, no true child of God hears messages like this and rejoice. No. It tells you that there's work to be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. To be perished here means to go out of existence. If no one leaves this world without ever believing in Christ, that one will never be saved. That one will never be found again.
Never. Never.
Hallelujah.
That's the reason why we should preach the gospel more. Tell those who are tell the untold. Reach out more to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the reason why we pray for the unsaved the way we do. Well, I will pray for the unsaved the way we do. The last time we were praying for souls at Zamfara. We know how we prayed, right? On the prayer retreat. I guess it was Pastor Wisdom that led us. Why did you think he prayed that way? Most times when we pray for the unsaved, sometimes tears come down from our eyes. You know, that tears is not that we want to cry. No! No! That is how Christ who sees lost souls. That is the compassion of Christ. That is the burden of a soul winner. Wants to see the lost soul saved. Then we get on the street. We get on the road. We preach the gospel of Christ. Did you? Can you hear me? You preach the gospel of Christ. Even when we are rebuked, when we are stoned, when we are persecuted, yes, we preach. Yes, we preach this same Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No believer, see, no believer hears a message like this and is rejoicing. Yet you are thinking of, oh, I'm going to reach out today to that brother. I'm going to pray much more for his salvation. I'm going to pray for this my brother at home. You see, that guy, we used to play games together. I need to reach out to him quickly with the word of God. Because if this guy leaves this earth without hearing about Christ, without receiving salvation, he's gone. He's gone forever. He's not just gone to come back. He's gone forever. He's wiped out. As in, he's wiped out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, during GPLC, we discuss about the soul in our body this year. The soul in our body. There's a body we must carry. The soul in our body. There's a body we must carry. The compassion of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when you see things like this, you know that evangelism is beyond going to share tracts. No. You know that evangelism is beyond sharing charity work, sharing shirts and receipts. No, it is called that evangelism work is talking about Christ. Hallelujah. There are some people who are so frivolous about doing evangelism. They just stand on the street and they are just sharing tracts. They are not talking about Christ. It must be announced and said. Hallelujah. Go with the whole of your heart. Go with the whole of your heart. Men are saved. Christ is glorified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 5:41. It says, and he will also say to those at his left side, and he said, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and those of his angels and his angels. When Jesus used the word everlasting fire here, he's referring, what he's referring to here is that there will be no more in existence, destroyed forever. With this said, you will not understand the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 47 verse 14. Isaiah 47 verse 14 says, behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire will burn them, they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. He's telling you, it is extinction.
Hallelujah.
It is extinction. Total wiping out.
Jeremiah 17 verse 27. Just go a few chapters after. Jeremiah 17 verse 47. Verse 27 rather. And this is where we'll close. He says, if you, 17 verse 27, if you will not heed, if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying burden with when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gate, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. When you hear Sabbath day, if you will not heed, the Sabbath day was not referring to a day, it's referring to salvation. If you will not heed to salvation, he said the fire is like that will not quench. You know what it means? It's everlasting. That which taketh away forever. Hallelujah. It will not quench. Meaning there's no coming back. There's no sin again. There's no sin again. You know, sometimes when I hear some people write in the obituary for, let's say, somebody lost someone, I will not say, she will meet again to part no more. Question sometimes, I've seen somebody, somebody who died, seriously, who was shot dead as a cultist, never believed the gospel. And people were writing, she will meet to part no more. And I'm asking myself, where are you meeting? They said to you, do you want to you want to go there? Just now. And now understanding this truth, knowing that you can't even see. So those are just mere words to console the soul and the mind. Your own soul and your own mind. Some people will say we are going for second grace work. When a man dies, we're now going to be praying that God will accept his soul. You know, we most times it's just ignorance gone on rampant. Somebody who never believed the gospel. And I'm praying, oh Lord, accept his soul. How? In fact, the moment that one dies and is unbelieving, is in extinction. He cannot be found again. So all those incense you are carrying around and all those prayers you are making are just vain. You are wasting a precious time you can use to preach the gospel. Much more the reason I don't actually go to do waiting for people who I know were not even born again. Say, I want to pay last respect, what respect? For a man who never respected the gospel. Do you understand? What last respect? Somebody you will never see again. You will never see again. You will never see again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as I got to this part, I just, you know, this compassion just overwhelms my heart. Your soul being transported. Must get quickly to them with the word of God. And you must pray for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quickly, let me just show you something from Timothy and then we'll close. First Timothy chapter 2. From verse 1 into verse 3. Into verse 4. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayer, intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All men to be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we pray for them. We pray for men that they be saved. Hallelujah. You pray for them. As you get to them with the word of God. As you get to them with the word of God. They will receive the gospel. Hallelujah. They will receive the gospel. They will receive the gospel of Christ. And they will take that decision. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed?
Why not come and share with someone what you've learned?